Islam, worship, feminism, pietism, postmodernism. You can meet and hear Issues Etc. regular guests discussing these topics at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14th and 15th in Collinsville, Illinois. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Registration is $100 per person. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 14 and 15 in Collinsville, Illinois. issuesetc.org.
This conclave is probably going to be open to a pope from just about anywhere. It's no longer now the hegemony of Europe.
The rich people in our country have decided that we're going to have gay marriage. And I mean the rich people of both parties.
Your pastor, with all of his failings and shortcomings and his jerky behavior, is a mask of the faithful good shepherd who is not a jerk.
When he comes in and he takes the strong man's stuff, he doesn't keep it for himself. That's what we were going to be expecting. Well, that's what we would do. If I overcome you, I take what's yours and it's mine. But he gives it away.
Thank you for providing theology for clerical collar, white collar, and blue collar.
The math seems pretty straightforward. It adds up for us. It seems reasonable. We're here. God is there. We don't want to suffer. God's a nice guy and really doesn't want us to suffer. We're the cause of our own suffering, maybe because our disobedience to God, or we misunderstand how we ought to relate to God. And so he'll permit us to suffer, so we learn a lesson. But once we've learned our lesson, which is usually having something to do with being more obedient to him, and we are more obedient to him, then we should expect, here's how the math works, we should expect the suffering to stop. God doesn't have that much more to teach us. Why would he allow us to suffer if he doesn't want us to suffer? And we don't want to suffer. So the more sanctified we are, the more moral, obedient we are, then the less we're going to suffer. Is that true? Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live on this Tuesday afternoon, March the 5th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will join us here to talk about sanctification and suffering. And then in the second half of this hour, Pastor Sam Schultheis will be talking about the benefits of the Lord's Supper. Our call-in number 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is a regular guest. He's pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of the weekly radio show called Table Talk Radio. He's editor of the new journal Around the Word, and he's authored an article in Around the Word titled Sanctification and Suffering. Brian, welcome back.
Thank you.
You say that when we Christians separate sanctification and suffering, we do that out of a more basic misunderstanding of the relationship of God to suffering. What do you mean?
Yeah, it seems like I think this is our inner Buddhist that thinks that God doesn't have anything to do with suffering. And I guess it makes sense to natural reason to say, well, God is perfect. He's distinct from creation. It seems our conception about God would be that he is above suffering. But when we turn to the scriptures, we see precisely the opposite of that, that Jesus sinks himself into our suffering. He experiences suffering like no one else in the world ever experienced it. In fact, that's part of our understanding of the gospel, that Jesus suffers more than any human being, than anything in all creation will ever suffer. So that if we want to talk about suffering and experiencing suffering in a very real way, the one who has suffered the most is God, which is, I guess, our idea of our kind of mechanical and pristine view of God flipped exactly on its head. So Jesus is not a stranger to suffering. Jesus is the one that cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And that, if we can learn anything about who God is and what the relationship with it is between God and suffering, it's exactly that. Jesus suffers. Jesus experiences suffering in its fullness.
So, are you saying that the Christian understanding of suffering has to begin with Jesus suffering rather than my suffering?
Well, indeed. I mean, it must. It must, because Jesus' suffering is going to have everything to do with how we understand our own suffering. And the first fact is that Jesus suffered. I mean, that is just the first thing we ought to know, is that God himself has experienced suffering. So that when we think that if I'm suffering, then God must be far away from me because God is somehow the unsuffering one. That is not true. That's a pagan conception of God, not the Christian conception of God. And once we overcome that misconception about God, then we can start to consider how it is with the suffering of Jesus and my own suffering and how those two things relate to one another.
So does this have something to do also with thinking of God in terms of, as the theologians would say, a theology of the cross rather than a theology of glory?
I think so. I don't understand what those terms mean, by the way. So I don't know if I can, I don't want to put myself in them too deeply, but I think that's exactly right. So that I think the theology of glory would probably come along and say that God is distant from suffering. God, of course, can't suffer, things like that. That's what a theology of glory says. So then if that's true about God, then the more godly we become, then the less we suffer. You see how that works? So if God is the unsuffering one, then the more godly I am, then the less suffering I have. It seems to make sense, except for it's militated against in every single page of the Bible. It seems like that it's precisely the godly who suffer. And Jesus gives these promises. In this world you will have trouble. He even gives blessing. Blessing are you if you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. So that it looks like in the Bible that the Christian life is exactly the opposite of what our reason would think. That the more godly I am, the less I suffer. No, the opposite is true. In fact, the more godly I am, the more I'm suffering. In fact, my life of following the Lord and His Word and believing His promises is a life of suffering. I'm handed over to suffering, precisely like Jesus was. I'm right there with Him.
Okay, so it sounds like it's a new math. It's a different way of thinking about this entirely. That Jesus, who is, I guess we could speak about Him in some senses, wholly sanctified. He's holy. He's perfectly righteous. He suffers the most.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're saying is sanctification will come with suffering.
Yeah, exactly. Through suffering, with suffering, alongside suffering, in the midst of suffering. Right. It's all piled up together in the way the Lord deals with us in this world, and which is really quite amazing. I mean, there was this big craze. Everyone remembers a few years back, and everyone was wearing these WWJD bracelets. What would Jesus do? And that was rightly criticized. But there is a couple of places in the Bible where Jesus is given to us as an example, and He's given to us as an example to follow, precisely in that He suffered. Peter says this: You follow the example of Jesus, who suffered and didn't open His mouth. So the example that Jesus gives to us in our Christian faith and our Christian life is the example of suffering. Or, I mean, Jesus says it really plainly when He calls the disciples and He says, "Take up your cross and follow Me." So that the following of Jesus is walking the path of suffering.
Is it true? You make the statement in your article that the uncomfortable realization that every time, almost every time, the Bible takes up the topic of my life, it talks about it in terms of suffering. Is that really true?
Yeah, it is. I mean, it is uncomfortable to read about sanctification in the Scriptures once we start to realize that all of this talk about suffering, being rejected, being persecuted, being hated, and all of this sort of stuff, this is what the Lord, this is the assumption of our Christian life. Now, I think there's a couple assumptions that the Bible has about our Christian life that we don't share. And this is maybe the most profound of all of them, is that the New Testament assumes that the Christian is going to be martyred for their faith. The New Testament simply assumes that you're going to die because you take up the name of Jesus. And this is not an assumption that we share. I mean, we think that's crazy. If, and this is, again, the assumption of the New Testament, if we manage to make it to the end of our days and someone hasn't chopped off our head or boiled us alive or stoned us or crucified us because we're Christian, and we're able to die a natural death or an accidental death or whatever, then that would be a special blessing from the Lord. But we think the exact opposite. We think, oh, if we're a Christian, everything will go well, you know. The sun will rise when I'm ready, and the clouds will move out of my way, and I'm going to have the best parking spots and all the green lights all the way. We assume that this life, because we're Christians, this life is going to be, you know, cotton candy balls and things like this. No, the opposite is true. The Bible simply assumes that when we follow after Jesus, we're going to follow him all the way to the whips and the stones and the jeers and the mockery and the abandonment and the loneliness that he himself experienced. Jesus says it. The world hated me, and if it hated me, it's going to hate you because you have my name on you.
Okay, with only about a minute or so before we take our first break, Brian, I don't know about you, but I honestly just don't suffer that much. Maybe it's just my stage in life. You know, you kind of hit the stage past the midlife crisis, which I never suffered. Maybe it's on its way.
Yeah, it's on. It's I'm sure it's coming.
Well, you're looking at the last half of your life. The kids are out of the house. Life is a little easier. You're making a little more money. I cannot say I suffer a lot. What do you say to me?
God be praised. This is not something that we should be ashamed of. We say, boy, things are going pretty well. We should thank God for that. We should just know that this is not the normal. This is not the normal way it is with Christians, and that suffering will come. And if it doesn't, if the Lord preserves us from that, because I suspect I'm in the same boat as you, and the Lord protects the weakness of my own faith. By protecting me from all these sorts of things. And so we're able to thank God that things go well. Of course we can do that. But we don't, when suffering comes, then we don't say that, well, that must mean that now God's abandoned me. No. Indeed, that's not the case. He's with us no matter what, you know, sickness and in health.
Pastor Brian Wolf-Miller is our guest. We're talking about sanctification and suffering. When we come back, he says, there is a purpose to our suffering. Now, everyone thinks there is. I'm suffering because what? Because God is punishing me? No. Because God is trying to teach me some kind of a grand lesson, life lesson? Not really. There is a purpose to our suffering. We'll find out what it has to do with sanctification on the other side of the break. Pastor Brian Wolf-Miller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of the weekly radio show called Table Talk Radio. He's editor of the new journal Around the Word and author of an article in that journal titled Sanctification and Suffering. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. St. Mark Lutheran, Edmond, Oklahoma. Emmanuel Lutheran, Manchester, New Hampshire. University Lutheran Chapel, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Freedom, Pennsylvania. Holy Cross Lutheran, O'Fallon, Missouri. St. Paul Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana. Christ Lutheran, Rochester, Minnesota. Holy Cross Lutheran, Carlisle, Iowa. St. Peter's Lutheran, Indianapolis, Indiana, and Grace Lutheran, Wellsville, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Epiphany Lutheran Church in Door, Michigan gathers to receive our Lord's gifts in word, baptism, and supper every Sunday morning at 9:15. Bible study at 11. Join us at 4219 Park Lane in Door, or visit us on the web, epiphanydoor.org. Christ-centered, cross-focused, historic, confessional, liturgical, Epiphany Lutheran Church in Door, Michigan, epiphanydoor.org, 616-681-0791.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about sanctification and suffering. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. Brian, before we go on, tell us a little bit about this new journal that you edit around the Word.
Yeah, I've been thinking about this. I've been a pastor 8 years now, and I've always wanted to put something beefy in the hands of the Lord's people here that had some theological stuff, but that was geared particularly for them, for the lay people of the church. And a lot of our theological journals are built for the professional theologian or for the pastor, things like this. And I wanted to do something kind of like what you guys are doing with the radio in a journal form. So some theology built for the laity, a lot of scripture and Bible study, a lot of devotional resources and things like this. So I started, we started a year or so ago, cooking up this journal, and it's, I think it came out, the first issue came out pretty good. It's got about 14 or 15 different articles, features, journals, book reviews, Bible studies. There's an art history piece and a hymn study, and neglected theological topics on the demons, some old excerpts from books and resources, and then devotions for each week. They have weekly devotions and daily devotions that you can print off the front and back of a page and have those for your family as well. So it's going to be a quarterly thing. So the next one, the theme for this first one is suffering. We're working now on the guys are writing furiously, getting ready for the summer edition already, and the theme will be the conscience. So I'm really looking forward to rolling that out, and we've actually got more coming in this next one. So if people are interested in having it, you can download it as a PDF, or you can order it bound up, the print-on-demand sort of thing. And the way to find it is Around the Word Journal. So it's Around the Word, not Around the World, but aroundthewordjournal.com.
Folks, you can check out Around the Word under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. All right, so this brings us around to the question of the purpose of our suffering, which you have been hinting at strongly here in terms of what sanctification really is. Let's just put something aside for a second, though, because most Christians will say, well, it's not that God is punishing me. They're sophisticated enough to kind of figure that one out. But he's trying to teach me a life lesson. Is that the way it goes?
Well, I mean, I guess so. I mean, if the life lesson that the Lord wants to teach you is that you trust in him, I suspect that's what it is. But the Lord is, in suffering, the Lord is forming our faith to cling to his word. I mean, it's especially when he gives us promises of things, and then it just does not at all look like he's kept those promises, that we're called to trust in him in spite of what we see. So that the Lord's mercy and his kindness is always hidden behind the opposite of what manifests itself. So in the midst of suffering, the Lord is teaching us to trust in him. I mean, it's like Abraham, you know. Abraham, here God gives Abraham this beautiful promise that his seed is going to populate the entire earth, and more importantly, that his seed is going to be the promised Messiah who will destroy the devil, etc. And that promise is given and put on Isaac's face, on Isaac's head. Isaac, this is the one. He's the one that the promise is going to be kept for you through. And then the Lord goes and says, hey, now that Isaac, the one that you love, go and sacrifice him. Now, it looks to Abraham like God's promises are about to be undone by God's own command. And yet, Abraham trusts the promise. He trusts that if the Lord has said that through Isaac, his offspring will be as many as the stars in the sky, and through Isaac, the Messiah will be born, then if God has me sacrifice Isaac, then he'll raise him up, because God must be able to keep his promise. And this is the way that suffering strengthens our own faith. That's what the Lord is after in it. He's strengthening our faith, our clinging to his own word, is that when his promises are hidden, we still believe them. And that's what faith is, to believe the things that we don't see.
Brian, you say that in the midst of suffering, God is preparing us for the resurrection. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, that's right. Here perhaps is a text to consider. This is Acts 5. And this is just beginning of the church, and here are all these Christians, and they're confessing the name of Jesus, and even the apostles are working miracles through the name of Jesus, and they're dragged in front of the Sanhedrin, and they're told to stop preaching in the name of Jesus, and they refuse, and so they're beaten, and they're sent away. And Acts 5, verse 41 says, then they left the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name of Jesus. I mean, this sounds crazy, but the disciples know Jesus, and they know that Jesus suffered before he entered into his kingdom. And so they know that we, as Christians, and that we, the church, will also suffer on our way to the kingdom, on our way to the resurrection, and that the temporal sufferings from this life cannot, as Paul says in another place, cannot even be compared to the surpassing glory of what the Lord has in store for his children.
You know, we talked earlier about not suffering much. I've never been beaten for the name of Jesus. And
yeah.
I think that if I were, at least in the midst of it, be a little hard to muster joy there. There'd
yeah.
be a lot of other emotions, a lot of other states of mind other than joy.
Yeah, that's right. See, I think that in a lot of ways, this kind of our Christian life is supposed to be easy, is training us to expect ease and to not be ready for suffering. So the opposite should be true. By repentance, we are able to rejoice in those times when the Lord has protected us. I mean, none of us have been, at least in the United States. I mean, there could be people listening in foreign countries where they've experienced incredible persecution for their confession of the faith. But for us in the United States, if we have suffering, it's generally not as necessarily as Christians, and things are pretty easy. And we're able by repentance to thank the Lord for that. But we're also by repentance being trained up to be ready also to lose things for the Lord's sake, to be ready and willing to suffer, to prepare for persecution, so that when it does come, we can thank the Lord for his provision and for his gifts right in the middle of it.
So with only about 2 minutes before we wrap this up, if all of this is true that we've said, how should we think about sanctification?
Right. That's right. To put it all together, that when Jesus calls us to follow him, he calls us to come and suffer. He bids a man, who said this? Someone, one of these old Lutherans said it. When the Lord calls a man, he bids him to come and die. And so that our Christian life is a life of dying, that we might be raised. So that every day as we repent, we're suffering the old Adam and his sinfulness and acknowledging it, but we're coming forth in the newness of life that Jesus gives to us. And when that suffering is brought about by the sinful world in the form of tragedy, death, our friends dying, great loss, or if it's brought upon us by the devil in the form of doubting God's word and an especially troubled conscience, or if it comes by our own flesh and the temptations that come along there, or if it's official persecution, if people stand up and would throw rocks at us for taking upon our lips the name of Jesus, we know that all of this is our life in Christ, and that this doesn't mean that Jesus has abandoned us. In fact, it means that Jesus has called us, and he will continue to call us and keep us and bless us in the midst of suffering until he brings us home, because he's the one who suffered. And in the midst of suffering, he's the one who's with us.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado. He's co-host of the weekly radio show called Table Talk Radio. He's editor of the new journal Around the Word, and he's authored an article in Around the Word titled Sanctification and Suffering. Brian, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Doug.
When we come back on this Tuesday afternoon, March the 5th, we're going to talk about the benefits of the Lord's Supper. Now, that requires that we talk about what the Lord's Supper is, but you can't talk about what the Lord's Supper is without immediately talking about what the Lord's Supper gives, and that's what we mean by benefits, the gifts of the Lord's Supper. Pastor Sam Schultheis will be our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Stay tuned.
Did you know that we send out an email each week that details upcoming show topics? It's available for you to include in your weekly church bulletin. Just click the logo for the Issues Etc. Journal and Weekly Bulletin insert at issuesetc.org and sign up to receive the church bulletin blurb. It's an easy way to invite your fellow parishioners to listen to Issues Etc. issuesetc.org, look for the Issues Etc. Journal logo, and register to receive a weekly bulletin paragraph from Issues Etc.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org.
There's an app for that.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans. People who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Seek out that clear teaching. That's why Issues Etc. is so great.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk, host of the video blog Worldview Everlasting, on the value of Issues Etc.
I can't speak highly enough of the times in my life, previous to seminary especially, where it was my lifeline. It was giving me the food that I needed, the clear thinking Christianity, to be able to know what I believed and why I believed it.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. Issues Etc. issuesetc.org.